Good morning. It's good to connect with you today here on this Sunday morning. Today we continue on reading out of the Old Testament in this season after the Epiphany. Now this season is starting to draw to a close, as next Sunday will be Transfiguration Sunday. And that's a Sunday in which we take a look at a moment in which Christ was at a high point in his ministry. But today we look, I would say, at a bit of a low point in the life of a people, in the life of the Israelites when they were struggling in their exile. A lot of ways our lives are like peaks and valleys. We have those high moments, those mountaintop experiences that are absolutely amazing. But we also have those valleys, those moments in which we are down low. We feel discouraged. There are the moments that we would much rather move past than remember. But in our reading today, out of the book of Isaiah, we have a reading that was, or a prophecy, I should say, given to a people who were starting to hear a call to go back to their homeland. God was at work to pave the way for the Israelites who had been in exile in Babylon, starting to pave the way for them to go back home, go back to their home in Israel. But it was a challenge. It was going to be difficult for them to not only make the journey and rebuild, but to even have the idea of hope. So I invite you to hear these words. I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. So I invite you to hear these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its habitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite places to visit is Canyonlands National Park, just outside of Moab. And Canyonlands is a place at the very, I would say, this one particular part of the park called the Island in the Sky. And when you get to the Island in the Sky, it's kind of a high plateau above, you know, the canyon lands. It's very appropriately named. But it's a plateau that is above. You can look down and see into all these canyons that just surround this plateau. And it's absolutely stunning. When you start looking down, you can see all the layers of rock, all the erosion that has taken place to form the canyons. And then you get to the very, you know, southern tip of the Island of the Sky, and you can look off and see the conjunction of the Colorado and the Green River and see where the Colorado River continues on towards the rest of Utah, down into Arizona, and then all the way to California and the Gulf of California. It's an amazing sight to see. And if you ever get a chance to go to Canyonlands, I would encourage you to do so. But I've also been there at Canyonlands at times that were challenging. Myself, I was in a, you know, personally a challenging spot and had a lot of things weighing on me. And there are several moments in our lives, if we think about it, in which we have, you know, concerns, we have anxieties, we have worries that weigh on us heavily. And we can get so consumed into these worries, into these anxieties that, you know, we are, for some reason are thinking ourselves are going through something that nobody else has, that our journey is, you know, totally unique, and that we are the only ones who've experienced this anxiety or worry or struggle. We can become very self-centered in those moments. And it's not because we are selfish. I mean, it's part of the human condition. It's part of our challenge as being human beings. We don't seek out to be selfish like that. But when I think about Canyonlands, I think about the rocks, the erosion that has taken place. And one of the trips I made there, I remember looking out when I was in that tough spot. A life when I was struggling, anxious, and worried. I remember looking out across the erosion, how the water had etched into the rocks, and how the beautiful landscape was formed. I remember thinking to myself that these rocks, the processes that were at work in forming these canyons, those processes were at work long before I got there, and they'll be at work long after I am there. And it's a moment in my life that I called blessed insignificance. And what I mean by that is that in that moment, even though I was carrying all kinds of worries and anxieties, in the grand scheme of things, those worries and anxieties that I had, those concerns, for the most part, actually I'd say probably 99.9% of them, those anxieties and worries are not a part of my life today. And that's the blessed insignificance. And the other part of that blessed insignificance is that even though we may feel like we are insignificant, when we're looking at creation, we may feel that we don't matter or we don't have any value. Our God still sees us and values us. Our God still blesses us and cares for us. And that's kind of the blessed part of that statement when I'm saying blessed insignificance. Many of the things we worry about in the grand scheme of things are insignificant. But yet, we are blessed, we are cared for, we are loved. When I look at this passage of scripture and I think about the situation in which it was given to the Israelites, it was given to them as they were preparing to return back to their homes in Israel. They were beginning to move out of Babylon, and people had been in Babylon for generations. They were worn out, they were exhausted, and even though they had dreamed of going back to their homes in Israel, going back to Jerusalem, rebuilding and restarting, they had dreamed of this for years, decades. The idea of moving forward seemed insurmountable. There are times when we are worried and anxious moving forward, experiencing hope can seem insurmountable. But it is our God who created the heavens and the earth, and created us, and is with us as we move forward, in our lives, as we move away from the present moment and the worries and the concerns and the anxieties, the fears that we have. Our God is with us. And the one who created the heavens and the earth, who created us, who knows us, is with us as we move forward. Those fears and those worries, those anxieties, in the grand scheme of things, are insignificant. I also want to share, though, that there are moments in which, you know, worry and fear and anxiety, they're valid. Like, don't get me wrong. There's moments in which, you know, fear can be valid, especially if you're in a dangerous position and you need to get out of it. I mean, certainly, if a large animal, a carnivorous animal is coming after you and you're fearful, please run from that animal or get out of a dangerous situation if you are feeling that fear. What I'm really getting after here in this moment is there are worries and anxieties that we carry that a lot of times, and I use this phrase a lot, exist between our ears. They might be things about our calendar, our schedule, events that are taking place far from us or far out on the calendar, or the general, you know, worries of the world. I mean, we live in an incredibly anxious time. But our God has been through anxious times. Our God has been through and carried people through times where people were filled with fear and worry. And yet the people of God prevailed through all those times. We were not abandoned or forsaken. The processes that were in place that give us life, the hope that comes from Christ, all the love that has been shared with us, you know, from Christ and shaped by the Holy Spirit is with us still. And that love and presence and care has been on the scene before we came on, before we were taking our steps on this earth. And that same love, that same care will be present long after we are gone. And so if we're concerned about those who are coming after us, our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you know, neighbor kids, if we're worried about them, our God is with them. It surrounds them as God surrounds us and cares for us today, and also as our God has been with people in the past. As God was with the Israelites as they moved from Babylon back to their homes in Israel and Jerusalem, God was with them, journeyed with them. God journeys with us today, and God will journey with those who come after us. Yes, there are moments in which our worries, our anxieties, and our fears are valid, and they are real. But I believe when we're having those fears and anxieties and those worries, I believe we can be reminded and assured that our God is with us, that we are not alone in those moments, and that our God, who created the world, created us and cares for us deeply. So let us embrace this love. Let us embrace this care, not only for the present moment, but for all of our lives. Amen.